Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today we're going to look at four mini parables, the parable of the lamp, the measure, the planter, and the mustard seed. And each of these little stories that Jesus told will teach us things for our lives. So grab a Bible. If you would, turn to Mark chapter 4 in the New Testament, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now these stories that Jesus told long ago would become real to us and we'd learn from them now what you want to teach us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, the parable of the lamp. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 21. And Jesus was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure, is it? Or under a bed, is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it should come to light." So what's the meaning of all that, the parable of the lamp? Well, here I think is the meaning. Trust God's timing to bring things to light. Who is the lamp in that parable? Well, Jesus is the light of the world. But when he said these words in Mark chapter 4, who he was at this point was hidden. People didn't know that Jesus was God in human form. The disciples didn't understand that Jesus was God until after he rose from the dead and Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." That's when the light bulb went on. But earlier in the same chapter, Jesus said, "I speak in parables to hide things from people." But now that I'm risen from the dead later and the apostles go out, then it will all be revealed. So again, the point is, if you don't understand something, wait on the Lord, and in God's timing, it will become clear. You know, I'll give you an example. Many years ago now, I go to college. I majored in filmmaking for a year and a half. I hated it. And I finally discovered, this isn't God's will for my life. So I started praying, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do with my life?" And I prayed that for 2 years. And finally, at the end of 2 years, it became clear you're supposed to be a preacher. So sometimes you just got to wait on the Lord's timing to make things clear. I had a wonderful secretary. She was 39 years old, Christian woman who wanted to be married, never was. And she could have done what some Christian women do, jump the gun and you marry an unbeliever and you're regretting it the rest of your life. But she hung in there, waited on the Lord. God provided her with her husband, and now she's in her 40s and has a kid. And the point is, wait on the Lord to make things clear. Next, verse 23. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to." Here's the next lesson. Careful what you hear. Did you ever sing this as a kid? "Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." Or, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love." Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. I'll tell you what I have to regularly pray. God, help me not spend so much time looking at my iPhone, because not that I'm looking at evil stuff, but it's so much fluff. I like dog videos, you know, and I just got to pray, God, help me not spend too much time looking at this thing. I know a pastor, and he talks about eternity denying entertainment, meaning watch TV, go to movies, watch the internet. You'd never dream that there's an eternity coming, that there's a heaven and hell coming. And we just need to be very careful what we hear, because what we hear a lot is what we become. My Okay, next verse here, verse 24. Take care what you listen to, for by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you besides. Here's the next lesson. What you give is what you get. I mean, if you give yourself to mindless entertainment, that's what's going to invade your life. My mom was a Missouri Synod Lutheran, pretty conservative. She died a number of years ago. But in her old age, I would go home to visit, and my mom was believing stuff she never used to. And I'm thinking, where's mom getting this? Well, I think she was watching Oprah or The View. And, you know, my point here is, everybody, don't give yourself to mindless entertainment. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to scripture reading. Give yourself to Christian fellowship. Give yourself to a church. Give yourself to some kind of Christian service that you do to serve the Lord. Because what you give is what you get. Look at verse 25. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Remember the old Billie Holiday song? They that have shall, they that got shall get, they that ain't shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. That comes from this verse. So here's the next lesson. The importance of being saved. If you have Jesus now, one day you're going to get everything. If you don't have Jesus now, one day even what little you do have will be taken away. This verse is talking about the importance of being saved. I pray for Warren Buffett. My mom and dad knew him in Omaha when before he ever was famous. They were invited to his wedding, and they knew Warren Buffett. Well, here we are all these years later. He's a billionaire, and I read years ago that he was using his billions to send abortion suction machines around the world to abort babies. I wrote him a letter. Dear Mr. Buffett, you don't know me, but maybe you remember Tom and Ruth Brock. I'm their son. I'm a pastor now. Do you want to stand before God on Judgment Day, and your legacy is you aborted thousands of babies? And I just plead with you to repent. I sent him a little Christian pamphlet on how to give your life to Christ. Never heard from him, of course, but listen, I saw a T-shirt once that said, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." Do you know how important it is that you're saved? I mean, I've shared this before, but a man said to me once before I was stepping into the pulpit, he was our sound guy, "Tom, do you know how long eternity is?" I said, "Well, it's forever." And he said, "Eternity is this huge mountain made out of solid diamond, the hardest substance on earth. Once every 100 years, a little bird flies by, rubs its beak once on the top of the mountain, flies away. 100 years later, the bird comes back, rubs its beak once on the top of the mountain, flies away. 100 years later, come back. And when that huge, solid diamond mountain is all the way worn down to nothing, the first day of eternity has passed. I mean, have you ever thought this? Eternity is coming. You will spend all eternity in heaven or in hell. The Bible teaches once you're in one place, you don't switch to the other. This verse talks about the importance of being saved. Let's look at the next verse, the parable of the planter, verse 26. And Jesus was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed on the ground. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How, he himself does not know. The earth produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head." Here's the next lesson. Sow the seed, and leave the results to God. You know, I've quoted before Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, huge mission group, and he said this about sharing your faith. Successful witnessing is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Let me repeat that. Successful witnessing, sharing your faith, you share Christ with others in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you leave the results to God. So never underestimate what one sentence you say might happen, might do in somebody's life. And one of my earliest memories, I'm 5 years old, I can't sleep, and I get up and I'm crying, and I go into the living room, Mom and Dad are watching TV, and Mom and Dad, I just can't get to sleep. And I can remember what I said. I'm thinking about the cartoons and Bugs Bunny, etc., but I can't get to sleep. And Mom says, Tommy, just think about Jesus, and you'll go to sleep. And all I knew at age 5 were two songs from Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children, and Jesus loves me, this I know. I went to bed that night and sang those two songs in my head over and over till I went to sleep. I did that for the next 6 years before I went to bed at night. I think that did something to me. And you know, never underestimate what one sentence you say to someone can do. Our job is to sow the seed. The results are up to God. Verse 29. But when the crop permits, he, the farmer here, immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. That's the next lesson. The harvest is coming. That's a reference to Judgment Day. And again, if you watch a lot of mindless entertainment, extra, entertainment tonight, TMZ, would you ever dream there's a Judgment Day coming from watching the shows? No. And our job, Christian, is to remind our family, our friends, ourselves, one day Christ is returning and he will judge us. It's coming. I mean, I like the verse from Acts 24. The Apostle Paul's preaching, and as Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix, the official, was alarmed and said, go away for the present. I mean, our Christian job is to be the Apostle Paul and to remind people, there's something called Judgment Day. Years ago, an evangelist came to preach at our church, and he said, I was on the plane. I was sitting next to an atheist, and I started sharing my faith, telling him about Jesus, heaven and hell, and we need to come to Christ to be saved. And the atheist says to me, well, I don't believe any of that stuff. And the evangelist said, so? Well, I'm glad Jesus works for you. It doesn't work for me. I don't believe in heaven and hell. And the evangelist said, so? And the atheist kept getting frustrated. And finally, the evangelist said, just because you don't think it's there doesn't make it go away. And Christian, your job, my job, is to remind people there's a judgment day coming. Just because people don't believe in heaven and hell don't mean they aren't coming. They are coming on judgment day. Lastly, the parable of the mustard seed, verse 30. And Jesus said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, though it is the smallest of all the seeds that are upon the ground, yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that birds of the air can nest under its shade. Now, this is one of the parables Jesus never explained. So we're not exactly sure what this means, but I'll tell you what most of the scholars think this means. Here it is. The tiny church will become huge. Remember, again, at this point in time, when Jesus told the parable, the church had 12 people in it, the disciples. But Jesus is saying this tiny seed is going to become huge. Do you know the single largest religion on earth? Islam is number two, but number one is Christianity. It's the largest religion on the planet. So this parable became true. Finally, verse 33 and 34. And with many such parables, Jesus was speaking the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he was not speaking to them without parables, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. Here's the last lesson today. Thank God you have a Bible. I mean, we have the explanation to the parables written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The people that heard the parables at the beginning, they didn't understand them. We can understand them. Do you know how blessed you are to have a Bible? Right now, people are still dying in North Korea if they're caught with the Bible. You've got a Bible. And I just encourage you, you are privileged to understand so much, but you've got to open your Bible. There's an old saying, the Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. So I encourage you, get your Bible out, put it on the table, read your Bible every day. All right, let's review this. What have we learned from all these mini parables? Well, here we go. We have learned that we are to trust God's timing to make things clear, so wait upon the Lord. We are to be careful what we hear, because what you give yourself to is what you get. So give yourself to prayer, Bible reading, Christian fellowship, and don't spend too much time with this thing. The other lessons we learned is how hugely important it is that you're saved for all eternity by coming and putting your faith in Christ. Also, we learned that Judgment Day is coming and that the tiny church will become huge. And I'm just going to close with this. I had a sister who was 6 years older than myself, Ruth Ann. She died when she was 32. But when I was a little boy, I'd walk into my sister Ruth Ann's bedroom, and she had her white confirmation Bible out, and she would read the Bible before she went to bed at night. And when I turned 13 and got my own confirmation Bible, I don't remember anybody telling me to read it. But because Ruth Ann read her Bible, I started reading my Bible every night. I still read my Bible every day. So if I can leave you with one huge thing, get your Bible out, read it regularly, and you'll have more wisdom than the professors at the university. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, what does the word parable mean?
New Testament was written in Greek. The word parable, parabole, means to lay alongside. So when Jesus would preach to the crowd, he'd tell a story, but then privately later to the disciples, he would lay alongside what the story meant. So that's what a parable is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have been a United Pentecostal minister for a number of years and am now retired. I'm having a faith crisis right now, especially with the abuses of tongues in the services and the teaching that people not baptized in Jesus' name are lost. I'll appreciate your insight.
Yeah, and here's a man that I've been going back and forth a little bit. You know, if you're a United Pentecostal, I'd leave that denomination. You know, Pentecostals are fine. They believe in one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The United Pentecostals reject the Trinity. They also teach you have to speak in tongues to be saved. The Bible never teaches that. So I'm encouraging this man and his wife to leave United Pentecostalism and he's found, he said, a good Trinitarian Pentecostal church, charismatic church. So I hope they start going there. Speaking in tongues is a biblical gift, and it's not to be frowned upon, but you got to do it orderly and the way that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says to do it. Yeah.
Okay. Did people of Jesus' day understand that he was God?
I don't think so. Again, Even the disciples who were with him for 3 years, mm-hmm. Peter knew he was the Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew that much. But did they discover and know that Jesus was God in those 3 years? Well, they saw him walk on the water. They saw him control the weather. Only God can do that kind of thing. But I don't think the light bulb went on until after the resurrection, and Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." I think that's when the light bulb went on. And then in the rest of the New Testament, there are verses that teach Jesus is God. So there you go.
Okay. Uh-huh. Did Jesus tell parables to make things easier to understand?
Well, you know, when you hear people say, well, Jesus told stories and he told parables because it made things easier to understand, again, yes and no. Initially, when he was on earth, he told parables, and he says this, to hide things from people. Mm-hmm. And then he would later, in the house, explain to the apostles what the stories really meant. But, so initially, the parables, people heard them, and what on earth does that mean? But then later, after the apostles went out, they wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we got the explanation of the parables that Jesus gave privately. Well, now it's in the New Testament for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. So it is true, yes, he told parables to make things clear, but not till later.
Okay.
Yeah.
What will happen before Judgment Day?
Well, there'll be something called the Great Tribulation. It'll be a very difficult time to be on earth. Christians will be persecuted. And the question is, are we in the Great Tribulation right now? Well, if you were in North Korea, you'd think so. I mean, you can be killed for being a Christian right now in North Korea. If they find you with the Bible, you can be killed for that. So before the second coming of Christ and Judgment Day, the Antichrist comes, the tribulation happens, and Christians will be persecuted. And, you know, Mona... we live in Minnesota, mm-hmm. one of the most liberal states. You know, on both on the West and East Coast, very liberal. Middle America, very conservative, except for Minnesota, Illinois, and now Colorado. And so I have a brother in Colorado, and I sent him a text a couple days ago. For the last 2 years, the Democrats have been totally in control of Minnesota. We now have recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. We're a sex change state for children. Children from around the country can come to Minnesota. Children and have their genitals cut off. We have unrestricted abortion now. Abortion for any reason up to the day of delivery in Minnesota. If the baby survives the abortion in Minnesota, the doctor doesn't have to keep the baby alive.
Yeah.
I mean, Mona and my brother, now Colorado is very much in control by the liberal Democrats. All this stuff now is going through in Colorado, and I wrote my brother, and So we are living in very troubling times. And, I mean, the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, proclaimed the National Day of Transgender Visibility a few days ago. You know who else did that? The head bishop of the ELCA Lutheran Church. When you got the head bishop of a Lutheran denomination proclaiming Transgender Day of Visibility, something is wrong. Mm-hmm. The Bible talks about a falling away before the end, too.
Exactly.
Well, the church is going false. They're here. So only the Lord knows if we're in that final tribulation or not. But that happens before Judgment Day.
Sad day for Minnesota.
Oh, it's awful.
What will happen on Judgment Day?
Well, let's see. The Bible teaches that life will be going on as normal, and we'll hear trumpets, and Christ returns in the clouds. All the dead are raised, and then one by one, every human being stands before Christ, and he judges you, and you have to give an account for how you led your life. Those who trusted Christ go to heaven. Those who rejected Christ go to hell. The Bible talks about this earth melting, and then we go to the new heavens and the new earth. So that's what happens at Judgment Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Acts 2, verse 30, and Acts 19, 1 through 5, teach baptism was done in Jesus' name. The majority of Christianity teaches baptism according to Matthew 28:19. What is your take, and why is there such a gulf between the two teachings, especially since we agree that Scripture doesn't contradict itself?
Right. Okay, Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Disciples, go ye therefore, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And then a couple places in Acts, it talks about people getting baptized in Jesus' name. So which is it? Are we to baptize people in Jesus' name, or are we to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, I looked into this because it is a bit of a question. What's going on here? Because, you know, Acts and Matthew are both inspired scripture. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple ways to handle this. Maybe saying in Jesus' name is an abbreviation for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's just kind of an abbreviated way of saying it. Another way of saying it is we're instructed how to baptize in Matthew. In Acts, it just describes that they were baptized in Jesus' name. It doesn't get into exactly how they were baptized, because there was the baptism of John the Baptist still floating around in the book of Acts, if you know that story. And the apostles had to correct them, no, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, which, again, I think would be an abbreviation for the full in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I always baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that's how we're told to do it. But both are true, but just what exactly is going on? There you go.
Okay.
That's not the easiest one. Okay.
A friend of mine led me to believe she is a born-again Christian. She curses as a normal part of her daily living, but not much around me. I have given her a list of Bible verses that speaks of the sin of using curse words and taking the Lord's name in vain. That upset her greatly. Should I still remain friends with her?
Well, I think we should remain friends with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. But it says in 1 Corinthians 15, if a brother or a sister in Christ is living a life of impenitent sin, Paul says, don't even eat with them. So there's a balance here. I mean, where Jesus was a friend of sinners, he hung out with sinners. But then Paul says, but if those people claim to be Christians and they refuse to repent, then you got to not even eat with them. That's what it says. Yeah. Well, everybody, thank you for watching our program this week. You can go to pastorstudy.org to watch all of our shows for free there. Pray for us if you would. We're on the air because people around the country are very generous in helping us stay on the air, because it's a lot of money to buy this airtime. So if the Lord nudges you to help us stay on the air, there's the address, or you can support us with the address coming up in a minute on the screen. But thanks for watching.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks for joining us today in the Pastor Study. See you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.